Good morning, kids. Welcome. This is John, and this is High-Minded Seeking Christian Righteousness, or Seeking Righteousness. Today, I'm going to be talking a little bit about judgment, which is something that comes up, and I think right out of the gate needs to be addressed, because, in fact, it is something that keeps people away from righteousness, from Christianity, from any high-minded direction in their life, as far as I can see. I'll tell you a little bit about my experience with judgment in the first episode, episode zero, really, the introduction episode, which was only a 10-minute episode. I introduced myself, but I did talk about dismissing judgment, which is very important, but also on the receiving end, you're not going to be able to escape it, especially in today's, the world we live in. And I don't know about the rest of the world, but specifically in America. I once saw something, or somebody told me, you know, they were tired of people, and excuse my language, bitching about going to jury duty, because jury duty, you get to skip work. They pay for your food, and you get to judge other people, which is pretty much the American way. But I will tell you, there's a lot of danger in it and a lot of damage in it. And it becomes a very difficult thing to deal with. And it's something that we seem to do by nature. A big term as far as when I was growing up, involving racism, which is a terrible plague. And the reason why these things are used, prejudice. We prejudge, which is what the word comes from. And we have prejudices with everybody. I mean, based primarily on appearance, which is these things happen. And we're going to discuss dealing with those feelings and understanding, you know, at least in my experience. And again, make no mistake, I don't profess to be wise or knowledgeable. I just have explored these things, and I would have enjoyed getting some insight while I was seeking righteousness in my life, and still am, and I always enjoy getting insight and input from other people's experiences to learn from. But there are these, you know, when we first meet someone, we have nothing to go off of. There are three ways that you can judge someone based on, based on nothing. I mean, just you don't know them, you just are that type of person, but that rarely happens. That's not an issue. You can base them based on what they look like, which is, I mean, again, this is the lowest level. So let's say the lowest level of something to judge someone based on how they appear. And I think enough people know you can't judge a book by its cover. These expressions, these cliches, but a lot of people don't really practice them, even though they will acknowledge that, in fact, they don't want to be judged by their cover. But people are aware of it. So in this world, you do have to spend time. At least I do have to spend time, or I don't have to per se, but I do. For the sake of judgment, spend time on my cover, my appearance, or how I'm presented to others visibly is all I'm speaking of, that first glance. And with my background in marketing and branding, I understand the significance of how what people are going, they're going to make an impression based on what they see. So this is the first issue that people often do. You will have to forgive me. I do drink my coffee during the show, so you may hear me sipping, but don't judge. But here we are. So I'm going to say, so we've got that first thing, appearance. So now if you see someone, you find yourself thinking something of them because of the way they're appeared, if you're seeking righteousness and you are on this road to self-improvement, as I am, then I take a second and say, dismiss that. I have to treat this person and know this person only as a human being in the same life as I am. And I'll use this expression pretty regularly, and it is something that I subscribe to, and my father has regularly said, we're all in this life together. Every single one of us is in this sandbox, this playground, this garden that God created for us together. And none of us are getting out alive. We're all going to be struggling with different things and, you know, unable to present ourselves or seeing things from a different perspective. So you have to dismiss that, and you have to take the person as a human being. Now we go to a second level of judgment here, which is based on people's words. Based on people's words. Now, judgment can be good. You know, you can have judgment in your favor, or you can have judgment in your against you. And there are most people who live their lives presenting themselves through their words to prepare for that judgment, and they want that positive judgment. And I think of somebody that I had in my family, a relative, extended family here, who we were at a barbecue, once told me, I'm that type of guy, he said, he was talking about himself, I'm that type of guy that would run into a burning building to save children. Now, this is clearly a very self-serving statement as far as I'm concerned. But there are people that will receive that, will look at that person with admiration. Now, someone's words can only be used to internally. Now, when we talk about internal judgment versus external judgment versus how you perceive them, you still have to come back to that. This person is a human being, just like me. And maybe when I was six, I might have said something like that. But through my life, I've believed that I've matured, and I've focused on maturing and going down that road where I wouldn't say something like that, because it's very important to me that I use my words, the power of my words, to be humble and to not state something that may be inaccurate. And again, not self-serving as well. So this guy said that, and I said, that's a very self-serving statement, and it's very difficult. Now, clearly, it must be dismissed, because with someone's words, you have to understand that it requires very little of him. For him to say those words did not require him to go into a burning building and save children. It did not require him to even be that type of person. Now, maybe he is. Maybe he is. But based on his words, I can only determine that he would like me to believe that he is. And that's not something that, again, I can do based on someone's words. So there are people that say, oh, I never lie. Well, when somebody says that, I have a real difficult time believing anything they say from that point forward. And also, they've set themselves up for not being able to make a misstep, not being able to make a mistake, not being able to tell a little white lie, because if they do that now, they've destroyed their words. And this is okay judgment. And what I mean by judgment here is that, and there are counterweights, and I mentioned these in consideration and understanding. So some people can get angry and dislike this person and say, man, he's really full of himself, or they really are trying, just full of crap and talking themselves up and saying, well, you have to have understanding that while there must have been, or there could have been a time in your life, your own life, you must put yourself on their side and put yourself in their shoes, and not you currently, because everybody's at a different level in their walk, and some people aren't seeking righteousness. The people here, my listeners here, clearly, I'd like to think that you are. But there are people that are not seeking righteousness, that are just doing whatever they do. So understanding, though, that does not preclude me, or does not allow me to treat them poorly, or to cast a judgment with a penalty on it for them, specifically based on these things. So the judging someone by their words becomes is the second level of here, where you're getting very inaccurate representations of the person, just as almost as inaccurate as the representations you're getting of someone's initial presentation. So we know that visibly you can judge someone, and again, you have to dismiss that judgment, and you have to determine that that is inaccurate. I could never know based on their appearance, because I'm a smart enough, I'm an intellectual human being that can understand that if I walk out of my house, or if I've, you know, just been had a puddle splashed all over me, or I look like a hobo, somebody can make a determination about me based on that, and it would be inaccurate. And I know that to be true. That is absolutely true. So that being said, the appearance has to be dismissed, and I have to understand introspectively that I cannot possibly know in any way. Yeah, maybe you get it, a coin toss, 50-50, maybe even less. Actually, it's far less than that, that you could determine who someone is or how they behave based on their appearance. Now, people don't like that, but that is, in fact, it must be dismissed with your intellect, because the danger of it, of mistreating someone because of what you think they are because of their appearance, or of treating someone more highly than they should be because they're in a suit, when in fact they can be a terrible human being. So there is no basis on an accurate determination of being able to judge someone, which again, ultimately, I want to get to the point where you can hopefully dismiss all judgment. So we've dismissed the aesthetics, we've dismissed the outward appearance, we've dismissed the judging a book by its cover as wisdom that we're going to receive and say we will not do that. And now we've gone to what somebody says. So now we know what they look like, and now we're matching things up. And we'll get to the combination of everything, but let's just go based on only not being able to see them, but only being able to hear what they tell us. And as I've mentioned, people are going to praise themselves. People are going to say that they are possibly more than they are. And they're going to lean heavily a lot of times. And that's something that you should understand that there is power in the words you speak. And when I speak about faith, which we'll get to much further down the road, as I said, hope, faith, and love, these are great precepts. And these are ultimately the big overarching things that the Bible wants to discuss and does put out there. But at this point, somebody's words have to be understood to be self-serving, unless they are not, unless their words are not self-serving. And it's very easy with the brain to take a minute, and this is, I think, what's stopping a lot of people on the words and not really understanding, is they're not listening. And then, as I said before, understanding and consideration, that these are two virtues that can be used to overcome judgment, to overcome that innate sinful nature where we want to judge another person, or where we find ourselves judging another person, which you have to check yourself if you are seeking righteousness with every interaction that you have. And ultimately, I believe, at least in my practice, you have to practice treating people with a uniform basis of love. Now, like I said, when we get to love, that needs to be defined, and that's a significant topic. But you have to get to that point where you come to the determination that when these points hit you, where you know you see someone and you're going to judge them, I'm telling you, you are, I am, it's going to happen, we're going to do it, we're going to dismiss that, we're going to reach, we're going to have for understanding and consideration that I know, and you can also reach for intellect, that I could be wrong here, and your intellect should lead you to that. And there is a high enough probability and enough with historical wisdom, even if you're not a Christian and you're just wanting to understand it more, worldly wisdom, which you can't judge a book by its cover, is so profound and so accepted that if you truly accept it internally, you have to dismiss that. Now, someone's words, you have to believe that the person's, what they're saying, if it lifts them up, if it brings them to putting themselves on a pedestal in any way, you have to take a moment when you listen. And now at that point, have consideration for them and understanding that there may have been times where, especially when you're feeling downtrodden, or when you've surrounded yourself intentionally or unintentionally by people who are negative or who are poisons, as I try to say, who want to bring you down. Their intention is to, the only way they can build themselves up is to push another person down. They don't have anything, and we know this. And then consideration and understanding says, I've been there. I've woken up on the wrong side of the bed. I've been in a position where I've just been in a nasty mood. And maybe, you know, I just felt like I was being downtrodden. So I brought someone down to my level. Consideration. I consider that. I consider their feelings. And I understand because I've been there. And these things help me. So their words, so they lift themselves up. I don't get angry. I don't judge them. Maybe they're being boastful, which again, it brings us back to being outside of alignment with love. And you have to understand that. What my practice at that point is to say, to give them the little praise. Okay, good, good, good. Let them know that they need not pump them up themselves up anymore or puff themselves up. As I say, it's okay. I get it. I think, let them know at that point, I think you're great. I think you're awesome. And it's a practice that I've used because it's what I want somebody to do to me. If I feel like I need to let the person know, hey, I want you to see me highly, then let them know you see them highly as quickly as possible. Now, all of this stuff has to be genuine. You have to genuinely see them in a positive light. And that's where understanding and consideration, understanding that they are you. We are human beings. I can understand why somebody would do those things. But their words also have to be, anything that's self-serving or boastful has to be dismissed. And if you can get them out of that road by giving them what they're seeking, which is saying, hey, I think you're awesome. I know you're that type of person, or I believe, or that's great that you're that type of person, so that they don't have to keep going down that road. And then the words that you want to take from someone at this second level, we're in the first level of judging someone by their appearance, you have to dismiss it almost completely out of hand. I mean, as you go on and you become more responsible with not taking judgment on someone because of their appearance, then you can reanalyze that thing, but you have to dismiss it out of hand. The second is when somebody's talking about themselves, their achievements, or whatever the case may be, or just puffing themselves out, take no value from that. Because again, words are nothing more than sounds in the air until they benefit someone else. Now, the words that you do want to take to judge someone essentially in a positive light, because it is, there is value there. And again, you don't want to judge them really. All you want to do is make a determination or a guess. You have to determine how you're going to behave yourself based on other people. And that's not judgment and that's not penalty. But sometimes, you know, you have to know that if you determine that someone is a risk to your safety, to your health, to your life, to your happiness, it's unhealthy for you to remain around that. So you want to try to get to those determinations when you're dealing with other human beings as well. So at this point, now we're on the verbal, what they say. Now, if a person says, if you hear a person being respectful, if you hear a person being kind and being genuine and using their words to the gain of others. Now, again, it's still not universal. We're still only on the second level of whether or not there's any value to it. And you can ultimately, you do have to kind of piece this whole thing together when we get to the end. But if they're praising other people and they're using their words to the benefit of others, that may be worthwhile. Maybe worthwhile to grab onto as this person is an encourager, which an encourager is a powerful human being, is a supporting entity. And again, I do believe, you know, you do not know when you're entertaining angels. I believe that we do have a large percentage of angels in our population, and we'll get to that down the road. But a supporter, an encourager, is someone there who, by association with them, makes you stronger. A discourager is going to make you weaker. The words itself, encourage, to give courage to the person. Someone, you give courage to someone, they can do things. Now, it's difficult if you encourage someone down negative roads. So encouragers have responsibility to make sure that they're encouraging people. You know, you don't want to encourage somebody to jump off a cliff. So this is, again, when we get to the next level, you find you have to pay more attention to the motives and so on and so forth. But an encourager has a powerful gift, and it can be used for good or evil. And I guess discouragement could be used for good or evil as well. But an encourager who's speaking positive of others and who is leading people to good fruit. And you can tell what an encourager, whether an encourager is good or not, by the fruit that they bear, the seeds they plant. If you can't see the seeds, you can see the results in the fruit of the tree that they've encouraged. What has this person encouraged these other people to do? What have I encouraged my children to do? What have I encouraged my family to do, my friends? And what was the fruit of that seed of encouragement? What did it bear? And that's how you can tell whether a thing is good or evil. So you're determining at that point. A discourager is very, very difficult to believe or to find the good in it, because they're taking away courage. Now, there is people that will try to say, oh, well, I was just discouraging him from doing something wrong. Well, no. You can correct someone at that point. See, discouragement, I think, for the most part, doesn't have a place in correction. Discouragement takes away courage, and that's not what you want. You want to encourage people, and then furthermore, encourage them down a positive road. So if you see someone by their words who is an encourager, then that person, you can safely give them a positive judgment that this person may be something worthwhile. Now, if they're not, again, you do not, just based on their words, they could have been trained or raised to be a discourager. Doesn't make them a bad person seeking righteousness. I've been a discourager in my life. Hopefully I'm not anymore. I try to avoid it, but I can understand when I meet someone who's a discourager that what it was like to be that way and what my motives were or why I did it. Some people do it out of habit. They have no malice intent. Some people do, and you have to have understanding that it's not necessarily bred of evil, but you do, based on someone's words, have to go into a small level of potential, and it's not judgment in the negative, but concern about potentially your actions and how you're going to behave around that person, or excuse yourself from that person's company based on how it makes you feel, based on their words. Now, you must have consideration and understanding that that person is a human being in this life, the same as you and the same as me, and there are motives and reasons behind that we can't see, that we don't know. So because of that, we still cannot make an accurate judgment about what this person is. We can only make a hypothetical determination. And the only reason that there's value to that is not in the way that you treat the person, but it's in the way you behave and whether or not you choose to excuse yourself from that person's company without doing any harm or casting your judgment upon them. Now, again, spoke a little bit about the words there. First level of judgment where you're going to hit that needs to be dismissed as judging a book by its cover. seeing someone and believing them to be a certain way or something and treating them a certain way based on their appearance has to be dismissed completely out of hand and has no place. Second is based on their words, which I just spoke about a little bit there, and dealing with whether or not they, you get a little bit more potential insight, but you could never know because words could be lies. You can't know at that potential place who that person is based on their words. Now, the third level is a much more significant, and it's the, unfortunately, it's the only way that we as human beings, it's the level that we stop of being able to have a potential justification for judgment. And it's not really. I only say that because, again, I'm walking through these processes just as much as you guys and all of us here. But that third layer is based on someone's actions. Now, ultimately, people say words matching up with actions. We'll go back to the correlation between all of these things and how they work together and how one can affect your determination on the other and ultimately give you an even more accurate picture to get to hopefully the fourth level. So based on someone's actions, you can determine potentially more accurately whether or not, or casting judgment, not casting, I want to say casting judgment is completely out, but an internal judgment or a hypothetical determination of who this person is. How do they behave? Now, with this, you have to preface, and this is where it's very significant, having that consideration and that understanding these virtues that will help build your righteousness in dealing with people that are behaving in a certain way. And I use the term behaving badly, which we all do. So this is also another reason why you still cannot accurately determine or make a judgment on someone based on their behavior, unless it's long-term, but even not unless, you just can't do it. So somebody trips you, for example. Now, you don't know whether it was accidental or on purpose. Now, you make a determination for whatever reason or judgment that they did it on purpose, and you're incorrect. Let's say that they did it on accident, and now you've misjudged them. And now, here's the issue with all of these things when you get into judgment. The measure, the Bible says, the biblical aspect here, that there's several of them that we need to keep in mind throughout, is the Bible tells us the measure by which you judge is the measure by which you'll judge. It's a very difficult thing. The NIV version in Matthew chapter 7 says, "For the same way that you judge others, you'll be judged, and with the measure you use, it'll be measured to you." Now, that's what God's saying to us. So I'm saying, man, if I'm judging people, I'm going to be judged, and I don't want to be judged, because understanding, if I really look introspectively and I do know that I'm just like everyone out here, then I know that I'm fallible and that I'm going to misstep and I'm going to do things out of selfish ambition or whatever it may be, desire, greed, at any given moment, because none of us are perfect. And I want mercy. I want understanding, and I want consideration, and I want a road to redemption. I want to be able to make right any missteps, and I want to be able to correct and discipline myself. So it's very difficult based on someone's actions to judge them, because there could be mistakes. Also, people's upbringing. I know people who I've sat with who, no matter how much they seem to understand the correction or saying, like, you know, you shouldn't, that was very rude of you, that they don't even know that they were being rude. To them, it didn't register as unkind in any way because of their upbringing. because of their habits that have been formed. So they don't even know their. So they don't even know that they're behaving badly. And this is where, you know, a lot of people will get into the positions of your truth and my truth, which is why throughout this podcast, we're using the Bible as our basis for truth. So when I say that someone's behaving badly, it's not based on what I determine, and it's not based on what they determine. Someone says, oh, well, you think just because you say I've sinned. It's not about me. I'm not using my what I'm saying. I'm using these biblical precepts and this. If you're being unkind, then you're not in love, being in alignment with love, and God is love, and love is important. And again, there's going to be a whole series on love down the road because it is significant. But a person's actions are not going to give you an accurate representation of who they are either. So you cannot make an accurate judgment based on the way they look, their appearance, based on their words, or even based on their actions. Now, the world's going to tell you otherwise, because that's as far as we can go as human beings, is basing what we feel or who we think someone is based on their actions, which is, again, a very dangerous road. Any judgment puts us in that position where, as I said, the measure by which we judge is a measure by which we'll judge, and we want mercy, we want consideration, we want understanding in our own lives, because we are going to misstep. And it gives us that road to redemption, that ability to say, well, with someone allows me to say, I can make a mistake and get myself back on the road here, because I don't want you to judge me based on my actions, because I've allowed it to be a mistake. And when people make mistakes, it gives us the opportunity, or when we make mistakes, it gives us the opportunity to self-correct and stay on that road to righteousness, continue seeking that righteousness, rather than dwelling or continuing down a road of bad behavior. So when we see people doing these things, it has to be determined that it may just be bad behavior, and we have to determine that it is. But ultimately, we can use actions and words and see how they correlate to get to that final level. But the example where, you know, somebody trips you and they did it unintentionally, but someone says, this person's, and I'm trying to keep this thing clean so that I can mark it clean for the podcast, but again, I do use what would be perceived as coarse language. It's not cursing or swearing, as people like to use these things, which make them much more significant, because one word or an assemblance of letters in one fashion to me is no different than another assemblance of letters or sounds in the air. I don't let it affect me. And as I said, when somebody believes something, the biblical concept of that is there are people in, I believe it is Corinthians or Romans. Let me check here. I don't want to misspeak on any biblical thing. Romans 14. One person's faith allows him to eat anything, but another whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Now, let's take away the weak, the strong. We got our vegetarians, our vegans that make their determinations, but it's not specifically that. But the one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them both. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? To their own master, servant, stand or fall, and they will stand. For the Lord is able to make them stand. So what they're doing, these things, I've determined that this coarse language is not, in fact, an offense, and should not be an offense, because just as one word or another word has significance to another person or doesn't, I don't let these things. These are used as a communication tool, and they should only be used to communicate, and whatever it may be. Nothing is an offense or an affront to me if I do not, and I do not believe my communication, no matter what words I use, whether or not, or unless, you know, there's discouragement or there's harmful behavior or there's something negative that I'm doing that could hurt someone at that point, then I don't want to let my coarse language be an offense or lead them down a road, a negative road, which it goes on further to say in Romans. And again, when we're talking here, I want to preface that something that was very significant to me, that, you know, with the different churches, and many of these churches out there have different perspectives, I challenge you to go to the source, spend time in your daily bread, in the Bible, and getting that information directly from it. You don't have to necessarily take my opinion on things. Hear them. Understand that this is just another guy's opinion, just another human being's opinion on these things. And maybe there's validity to it, and maybe there isn't. But that's for you to determine. Always go right to the source. And I may not give the exact verse locations. I may know what general books they are. I might even say these are in the letters from Paul, which is Galatians, Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, these letters to the churches. And I might not know specifically where they are, because to me, that's not the importance. The importance for me is getting the information and understanding what it says. So people do these things, they go down these roads, and, you know, maybe there's times where I've been an a-hole, keeping it clean, or I've been a jerk, or I haven't handled things right in my behavior. There's been times where, and I don't always know, I don't always get it right. Sometimes I'm hurt, sometimes I'm angry, and under these specific circumstances, it leads to more bad behavior, or leads to my bad behavior, and usually after the fact, I feel remorse. I feel bad about my bad behavior. And if I genuinely feel bad, the apology is that I want to make it right. I get on that road to redemption and I seek that from others. I hope that they give me that opportunity for that road to redemption. I hope that they seek the good, the positive, and they want to encourage. And I go with genuine sincerity. When I misstep or I behave badly, I don't want people to judge me and determine based on one instance or even multiple instances of bad behavior, because that locks me in. I don't want somebody to say, you are bad because you've done this. Because again, our actions, I know with consideration and understanding that I've behaved badly in the past, and I don't want to continue down that road. So not continuing down that road, I need that road to redemption. I need that consideration and that understanding. And I know that it does not make me a bad person. It only makes me a person who has behaved badly. So even with a person's actions, we can't continue, or we can't make an accurate judgment of who they are. Excuse the dogs in the background. That's something that you'll have to deal with. I do love animals. But so that brings us to the fourth level of judgment here, and it is the only accurate and appropriate level of judgment when you're dealing with someone. And that's the level that really only God can actually see, and that's the motives and the intentions of the heart. And that's by which God judges us, by what why are we doing and saying the things that we're doing and saying. And we can never see inside a person's heart. We can never see the motives or know with 100% certainty the motives or intentions of their heart. Now, we can make determinations. I do recommend that you measure a person's actions and their words up against and try to determine their motives. Because not so that you can cast judgment, but only so that you can make a safe and appropriate determination on how you're going to act and how you're going to behave and whether or not you're going to allow yourself to be around that specific individual, because it can affect, and you can determine the good guy, bad guy thing based on the motives and the intentions of a person's heart. But you can't get it. We can never get 100% accurate. So we have no position. There will be no true evidence or proof to determine someone's motives or actions. We can only guesstimate. We can only have a hypothetical determination. And that is the area by which you should determine whether or not you're going to keep that in your life or you're going to excuse yourself from that circumstance. That's it. You can only do anything about it, and you still can't cast judgment. That is the measure by which that is the area by which God judges us, by our motives and the intentions of our heart. So now an example of this is somebody who say, if you know this person is in a financial situation where they're potentially, you know, they don't have any money, and you know that for a fact, and you know that they're hurting. Now this person goes to a mutual friend, and the three of you are there, and you know that person A, let's call them Joe, says to person B, and let's call them Jack, and you know Joe is in financial situation. And this is, again, the area where if you need to make a hypothetical determination about who a person is, this is the closest you can get to it. Now, this is making an internal hypothetical determination to base your actions on, at least as far as your own actions. And again, treating everybody with love, which we'll get to, but you have to determine, or you want to try to determine, the motivations and the intentions of the heart. So Joe says to Jack, and I know that Joe is in financial straits, he says to Jack, "Hey man, yeah, you know, money's been really good. It's just overflowing. I got this new project, and everything's been fantastic financially." Well, now I'm taking his words, right, this first area here, and I'm making a hypothetical determination that Joe is lying to Jack. So I still have no idea. It's bad behavior, potentially, but I understand. I've been there. Maybe he's embarrassed. Maybe he's, hurt, whatever the case may be, and he's just trying to help him up. So I understand that maybe that's the motive he's trying to, that's making him lie, that's making him do this bad behavior with his words. And then he tells Jack, "Hey, Jack, you know, if you want, give me $100 and, you know, next week I'll turn your $100 into $200 and I'll give that back to you." Now, I have to understand, I have to take this into consideration that this is his actions. He's changing this. He's creating an agreement or a situation, a circumstance where Jack may be hurt by giving this $100 to Joe, and Joe will take that $100. And why would Joe? So that Joe has now $100 when he had no money before. So now that brings me to the motives. I can use their actions and their words. It's very difficult to try to understand the motive for the bad behavior. So my hypothetical determination as an intellectual person, using the wisdom that God's given me, might say that Joe here is behaving badly to the detriment of Jack, and I can determine that hypothetically based on the information that I know, that Joe's motive is to get money based on the information that I have, his words, the fact that he's told me he's in financial straits, and his actions in trying to get Jack to give him money with some deceptive practice or something along the lines. So while Joe may in fact be able to get him his $200 back and so on and so forth, I'd have to question it, and I'd have to be concerned about it, because I understand, or I can make a hypothetical determination for my actions based on Joe's behavior with Jack and what I can guess his motivation would be to do this bad behavior. Another example that I use is I have a friend of mine who anytime I'd meet, he'd introduce me, or I'd meet one of his female friends, there would be some trepidation, or it'd be something interesting. And it wasn't until down the road, after these people got to know me actually, that they would say, "Oh, you're not such a bad guy." And I'd say, I'd be surprised, like, "Well, why would you even think that?" And I found out through, again, having to delve into this, only having, these were things that were not being exposed to me, but they had told me, "Oh, well, your friend and I'm not going to use his name. He told me that you were a mess, and he told me that you were, sleeping around, or you were a womanizer, or you're this. And I'd say, it would blow my mind that he would say something like that. At first, I would be hurt and I'd be angry, and I'd say, and I'd want to make a judgment that this guy is an a-hole, for lack of a better term, for saying that about me. But his words are not the thing that was necessarily wrong, because if in fact I was those things, he would only be doing something to help, potentially, even though it was bred of selfish intention. Now, that's again, I have to determine the motive and the intention for this. Now, ultimately, through conversations with this gentleman and with other people, I can determine that the motivation and the intention for this guy's bad behavior, at my expense — it was at my expense because it affected relationships — was selfishly inclined. He felt he was competing with me, and in order to give himself an advantage in this competition for this woman's affection or attention or companionship, he would speak ill of me to avoid me and this woman having any closer relationship, or him losing his perceived opportunity to grow or develop a relationship with this person. Now, ultimately, that judgment is the motive, the intention of the heart. I think that that is what's going on. And based on my conversation with him after the fact, where gently corrected him and said, hey, maybe your intention is this. And he was a wise enough guy, his friend of mine, to say, yeah, I was doing that. And I'd like to think that since that, it's been corrected. But nonetheless, I have to presume maybe, or I have to base my actions going forward, that this may be happening with this guy. This guy may be behaving badly behind my back. So now what do? I have to separate myself from that, or I have to understand that if I'm going to continue this relationship, potentially this gentleman is going to continue this bad behavior. And is it something that I'm okay with? Consideration and understanding. I may be capable of regular bad behavior or repeating certain behaviors based on hurt or anger or jealousy or embarrassment or any of these negative feelings or these footholds into bad behavior that seem to arise. And I did determine that I could deal with that. And I don't necessarily know that the behavior is going to continue, but even if it does, the measure by which I judge is the measure by which I'm judged. That's between him and God. And hopefully on his journey to seek righteousness, he finds himself in the place where he no longer wants to continue that behavior, or he maybe gets a distaste for it when he does those things or speaks ill of me or misrepresents me to his own selfish gain or his own selfish ambition. But at that point now, I've gotten to a level where I can make a closer — and again, throughout this, the only person who can make that accurate determination, the only being that knows that motivation and intention, and that is the only thing that you can judge a person by, is God. So you dismiss — we have to dismiss, we can have no — it's no place for judgment. So, but there is a place for you to protect yourself and to understand and to seek the truth. And through righteousness, then understanding his behavior or understanding why I might judge and might feel that I'm more accurately judging someone at that point, I would be able to determine how I'm going to act or what's in my best interests based on this internal hypothetical determination. So at this point, we've realized judging someone based on their appearance is, even if you dismiss the biblical precepts of that, judging a book by its cover, everybody knows this has to be dismissed out of hand. Nobody can make an accurate determination of who a person is or how they should be judged by God, not our place, but even just making a determination in your head whether or not somebody is a good or bad person. We can't do that based on appearance. Must be dismissed. Now, the words that the person — the second level, we can't judge somebody based on their words. People will say all sorts of things and lie and deceive. And sometimes they'll puff themselves up or they'll try to put themselves in a higher light. But whatever the case may be, we know that based on motives or intentions, that fourth level, it's going to affect their words. So we can't really determine with any real significant accuracy anyway that we should be able to determine who this person is or how we should quote unquote judge them. So it must be dismissed out of hand completely. That brings us onto the third level, which is where we as humans and the world stops, and people will say that it's your actions that define you. And that, to a certain degree, is inaccurate as well, because everybody's been capable of bad behavior. We're all capable of this bad behavior, and we're all capable of these things. So we have to know that at a certain point, anybody's specific actions, especially when they hurt you or they make you angry, that's going to make you want to immediately judge them and say, oh, well, they're this type of person. Where in fact, with consideration and understanding, we can put ourselves potentially in their shoes, consider that there might be something causing this bad behavior, just like in my own life. I've had times where internal strife, external strife, pain, anger have put me in a position where I failed, fallen, made a mistake, behaved badly for whatever purpose, and that does not define who I am, because everybody does that. And I can, with that consideration and understanding, I can say, given specific actions, potentially I can't read this thing accurately because I don't know the internal workings or the internal experience or the internal strife or external strife that this person may be going through that may cause this bad behavior. So we still can't make an accurate determination with based on a person's actions. But as human beings, that's as far as we can go. There's an expression that it's not what we say that but what we do that defines us. That unfortunately is very accurate in the world, but it's wrong. It's incorrect. It is a misread. Again, just as when we can't judge a book by its cover, we can't go off of what someone tells us, and we also cannot go off of their behavior at any given time to determine who they are. We need a broader picture, and we still, even if someone has gotten into habits or behaves a certain way regularly, it could be because of their upbringing. It could be because they don't know about a road to redemption. It could be because they've never had gentle correction. It could be because it's not who they are. They're always, you know, like I said, people may not even know when they're behaving unkindly or when they're being selfish because they haven't seen it. And at that point, you have to make a determination if they're hurting you or others only to remove yourself, excuse yourself from the situation if you feel that it's hurting. But ideally, if you can handle it and if you've got somebody who is willing to receive gentle correction, who's willing to be on that road to righteousness, surround yourself with people who are seeking righteousness, and you will have yourself a very powerful, rapid acceleration. Because you'll be able to say to people with this gentle correction, hey, you're hurting my feelings, or you hurt my feelings when you did this. And if they don't know, and they are seeking righteousness, they can self-correct, they can bring themselves in alignment, and would appreciate that wisdom in the correction and in discipline, because wisdom loves correction, wisdom loves discipline. So that's the furthest we can go. Now we can take God is the one that determines that fourth level, and that's the only level when a person can be judged, and that's where the only place that God can accurately see, and that's the motives and the intentions of the heart. Now, we can make these hypothetical determinations, which are not judgment. A judge determines punishment or penalty or determines consequences, or to let someone go, or to have mercy. So, and again, this is key. The measure by which you judge is the measure by which you'll be judged. If you give everyone mercy, you give everyone consideration and understanding, your Father in heaven, the one who judges you about your motives and your intentions, will give you mercy, will give you understanding, will give you consideration. So, given all this information, when dealing with the issue of judgment, first step must be dismissed. Just from an intellectual standpoint, with no biblical precepts whatsoever, can't judge a book by its cover. People understand this. Time has proven that. It's an inaccurate determination. Judgment is dismissed based on someone's appearance or even a circumstance's appearance. Their words now. Second level of potential area to determine who a person is or to judge them must be dismissed, because the information that's coming out of anyone's mouth may or may not be accurate. And even if you determine it is at any given time and say, this person never lies to me, or this, they may lie to you at this point, they may misstep, they may have a mistake at any given point, because they are a human being. And we need to have consideration and understanding that they may be saying things because they're in a bad mood. They may be being nasty because they woke up on the wrong side of the bed, or they didn't have their coffee that morning. Consideration and understanding allows us to get to that point where we realize that judgment is insignificant. And sometimes people just misspeak. They'll say something because they don't know the right words. They don't know how to communicate what they want to say or how they feel. So you can't determine what this person, who this person is, or whether or not you should, you certainly shouldn't, or whether or not they deserve judgment for anything based on their words. And then now that brings us to the third level of their actions, which is again where we stop as human beings and say, well, you know, it's not what you say, but what you do that defines you. And that's inaccurate, because everyone makes mistakes at any given point in our timeline of our life. We can have a misstep. And if that's what someone's basing who you are off of, then all of us are terrible people. All of us are capable, based on these little instances in our life where you've made a misstep, where you've stepped out of line, where you've done something you haven't been proud of. And when you cast that judgment on that person, you make it very difficult for them to get back in alignment, to get back on that road to redemption, to be able to self-correct and resolve those issues, because you've labeled them bad, or you've labeled them this type of person. And rather than fight and defend themselves, they'll more often than just say, "That's, I didn't do anything wrong." And they'll argue against your judgment and continue down that behavior, because they cannot accept their bad behavior, because they don't want you determining or telling them right or wrong, because who are you to say? And that's accurate. Who are you to say? None of us has any place to do to determine or make a judgment based on someone's actions. All we can do is decide what we're going to do with ourselves and how we're going to either excuse ourselves or gently correct the person, or try to continue to treat them with love. And that's not for everyone. I would recommend, primarily if you find you're in a situation where someone is not receptive to your input or not receptive to gentle correction, you know, thank them and be kind and remove yourself from the situation if you can. It's very difficult. Sometimes we put ourselves in a situation where it's very difficult to remove ourselves with a spouse or with a significant other who is in fact acting in a way that is hurtful, or is behaving badly regularly that is hurtful, but we don't have an exit strategy. We can't see a way out because they're tied to our children, or they're tied to our lives in some way. So we end up having to deal with bad behavior on a regular basis. That's why it's so important that we take those decisions, such as marriage and who we tie ourselves to, seriously. And then the fourth level, of course, is motives and the intentions of the heart. And of course, we cannot make an accurate determination. We can only do a hypothetical determination of what we think their motives are based on their actions and their words and what we do. And that's the area where you want to kind of focus on who this person is, and to know that God, in fact, is the only one who can deal with them on that, and the only one who can cast judgment on them. And it's a personal thing. for them. And that's where you, seeking righteousness, we have to spend the most time in our lives, working on our motives, on our intentions, and not worrying about the appearance, words, actions, or even motives of anyone else. I appreciate you guys listening. I hope it was informational. I know I enjoyed it and processed a few things. And hopefully I'll see you next time. Bye.